Welcome to the Men After God podcast, where you will be challenged and encouraged as you pursue God, achieve success, and raise a thriving family. Join your host, Dustin, and his guests on a weekly journey to grow as husbands, fathers, and men after God. Here is your host, Dustin Alley.
Hey guys, welcome back to another week of the Men After God podcast. I'm excited to have another friend on here with me named Curtis King. He is pastoring down in South Carolina and has been there for about 3 years and has an entrepreneurial spirit behind him, whether he knows it or not, and has started writing books. He's got three out right now, I believe, and he'll talk about those some today. He's getting ready to start up a farmer's market and has a podcast that we're going to be talking about as well. Now, for me, our podcast is about reaching you with the voices of men that are following God so you can know that there is no cookie cutter Christianity. You follow God as he's called you to, and it will and should look different than how someone else is doing it. And that is exactly why I love having so many voices on here. Curtis's podcast is all about the getting the wisdom of the word into your head and providing you a half hour worth of content each week so that you can consume something that's going to help grow you closer to Jesus and grow in your knowledge of Jesus. So I hope you'll take advantage of that as he shares about it on our podcast today. And of course, our links will be in the show notes. Let's welcome Curtis to our podcast and get to know him a little bit and hear about his family. It's Curtis, man. Thanks so much for being here today. Tell us about the family and kids and how you ended up in sunny South Carolina rather than in Bristol, Connecticut. That's my question. I may have some others to follow up on.
Well, first off, thanks for having me. And I've enjoyed the conversation we've had off the air already. And I know a kindred spirit when I talk to one. So I've enjoyed getting to know you a little bit. So I've pastored here in Liberty, South Carolina for 3 years now, as you said. And interestingly enough, I pastored several years ago in Georgia, Hartwell, Georgia. And I would always drive up here to see friends. And my wife and I, we would drive on the road I'm looking at right now. I would drive on 178, and I would always see this cute little white church. And I'd look at my wife and I would say, I would love to pastor that church someday. And several years went by. I became a youth pastor in West Virginia. And from there, I heard about this church, and I told my wife, I was like, Anderson, Liberty, South Carolina, that's kind of like the place we've always wanted to be. Let's look into it. And lo and behold, I didn't realize it was that little white church that I had said I wanted to be the pastor of. And then to make matters even more interesting was one of the men on the pulpit committee was a man who had been in Hartwell, Georgia, in the church that I was at before, had really helped me through my first ministry. And I don't believe in coincidences. And the Lord was in it, and I'm living life and loving it. It's just been great. I have a wife named Megan. We are, we grew up going, to high school together, in Maryland. I have, four wonderful kids, one girl, the oldest, and three boys, kids are aged, 11, 9, 5, and 2.
Hey, look at that. You got it right first try. There you go.
I think so.
You think so? We'll have her listen to it and confirm for us.
Right, right. So that's how life is here. It's a little crazy, but it's going on.
Four kids. I've got three, so I know what that's like. Raising them and pastoring is always fun. And, you know, it's great to just be a part of the ministry and bring the family along for the journey. And hopefully it's a journey and not an adventure, because an adventure can have some dragons to slay and maybe a roller coaster to ride. But I hope it's a great journey for them. That's wonderful, man. So, Curtis, you said you were a youth pastor there for a while. I have a question for you. When you came into the full-time pastor, did you find that the youth pastor followed you for a little while?
I'm sorry, what now?
Whenever you came into the full-time pastor, came into the lead pastor position there, did you find that the youth pastor kind of followed you along for a little while?
Oh, no, 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 no. The youth pastor thing never left me. I'm still doing that.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
In fact, awesome. I was telling a guy the other day on one of my episodes that I feel like I'm doing more as a youth pastor now than when my title was youth pastor. We have a youth rally coming up. In fact, I'll show you. And I know they can't see it, but we have a youth rally that we're doing, 90s themed.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I love working with teenagers. Mm-hmm. It's better than working with adults.
We don't want to share that publicly. Okay?
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you right now, though, you just said 90s theme. I thought, oh, wow, that's cool. That's so recent. I'm like, wait a minute.
Nope.
Wait a minute. No, it's not.
Well, and that's that's kind of part of the shtick.
Like us having a 70s or 80s theme,
right?
A 70s theme, I guess. Whenever I was in high school, it's the equivalent of that. Oh wow, thank you, Curtis.
Well, that's part of the joke too.
Listening right now are feeling old.
Right, right. Well, that's part of the joke too. Is that these teenagers, they don't get it. Right?
No.
We're bringing out Tamagotchis. We're bringing out Furbies. We're bringing out all these things. And I've told my youth guy, because I have a guy volunteering for youth. I said, listen, if you're not cool, don't try to be cool.
Yeah,
right?
No. Yeah. Got to be you.
Yeah. You got to be you. So I've learned this. If you are stupid on accident, then it's stupid.
Yeah.
But if you're stupid on purpose, then it's funny.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
So there's for anyone that works with teenagers right there, that's absolutely a little gold nugget there.
You know, this guy, so I want to share two bits of information. The first one's funny. The second one's instructional. The first one is that my wife was at a conference with me and I won't name it, but was getting some, it was a breakout session. They were talking about, leading, you know, ladies and youth and stuff like that. And one of the women up there was like, girls, you're going to have to connect to them. You got to get your hair did, do your nails. You got to do this and do that and just take them with you. And this, that, and other. My wife's like, I am not that person. Hmm. Like, I don't do that. And, you know, and listen, I'm not opposed to a lady that does. It's just, that's not who my wife is. And had she been doing that, it would have made her so fake and made her someone she wasn't. When in reality, it's not about doing those certain things that even the teenagers are doing. What teenagers, I believe, want and need is people to be real and authentic with them.
Absolutely.
And to just share their heart and share their life with them. I mean, I've loved being a youth pastor and I've still got connections. I mean, at this time of this recording, excuse me, one of my youth is actually living with me right now. Mm-hmm. And he started his own business. He's going to Bible college and he came up here to intern and he's getting his money together to go get his own place, but he's staying at my house. And why are we okay and comfortable with that? Because of the relationship we built and developed. Now, why do you want to come up here? Because he knew who I was. He's living with me now. He's not surprised by anything.
Right.
Because who I was out front was who I was behind the scenes. Now, I may have been a little crazier on the platform than I am just walking around my house, but it's still the same person. And I think that's so vital just to all of us guys. We were talking about earlier, there's no cookie cutter Christianity. Uh-huh. Be who God made you to be. So you're down there in South Carolina, pastor, and you've been there for 3 years now. What made you pick up the pen or start typing on the computer and write some books? Because you've got three titles I can find on Amazon right now. And I'm going to let you share your newest one, which is the one we mentioned earlier. But you've got sermons from the book of Haggai and then the Judges of Israel on here. I just went and searched Curtis King and was able to find your author page. And
sure,
guys, make sure you go check that out. But what got you started, and then lead that into a conversation about your newest book.
Sure. And there's also Living Water. That's the one that's most recently out.
Oh, okay. That was not published yet, right?
It is published. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep. We're going to talk about your author page, man. There it is. I found it. There it is. Okay. I'll scroll down. I'm sorry.
But anyway, so yeah, there's a lot behind it all, but ultimately,
you got time, brother.
Good. So when I was in my first church, I was writing my sermons and my first church was probably on a good day, 30 people. And at first, the idea was I'm going to take my sermons. I'm going to edit them up a little bit so that I can actually reach some more people with these things. Cause I was putting hours upon hours upon hours into these sermons. I manuscript write my, I don't know how you write your sermons, but.
So I actually did the same.
Yeah.
I don't read it, but I have to write it all out. It helps me get my thoughts out on the paper and get it all processed and then makes it really easy to turn it into other content, which I love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was the original thing. The original heart behind it all was that I want to reach more people. So that's how it started. And really the more I've been going along and now with this YouTube channel I have, the idea is really just, I want to make content and I want people to be able to engage in that content. There's a lot of content out there that is not helpful. And I want to help people with the content that I have. And yeah, that means coming to church on Sunday and hearing my sermon. And I, you know, hey, if next week I have 200 people in church, praise the Lord. But I do want to engage with people on more than just Sunday. And I guess this is the avenue that I feel like is the best for me. And I love writing too. So that's the other part. So
that's good.
What I have in the hopper right now, and I'm going to be releasing it next month, is understanding the book of Job. And so, because a lot of times with the book of Job, we understand the beginning and we understand the end, right? God tests Job. Well, Satan ultimately, but anyway, either way, Job gets tested. Job loses everything. And then blah, 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 blah. Job prays for his friends and he gets everything back double. But there's a whole lot of rich, beautiful stuff in the middle there. Mm-hmm. And then there's all that stuff with his friends that, they're saying all these things that sound kind of right, but they're not. Right. And I think when we read the book of Job, we're like, what does this even mean? Right. And that makes a whole lot of sense. But, so what I tried to do is I tried to just simplify it all. What are these friends saying? What are their truths about God, but also their misconceptions about God? Cause really the book of Job is not about Job. The book of Job is about the person of God. who is he? What is he like? And how does he act toward us? And that's why God finally opens up the windows of heaven, looks at Job and he says, hey, listen, where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I did this? And where were you when I did that? This book's not about Job. It's about me, God. And, so that's coming out next month. And I have a few other projects. I always have a few projects that I'm in the middle of working on.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Kindred spirit there. There's always something happening. I love that, man. And so I love how you're pointing out, you know, the, not just the book of Job, right? I mean, yes, the book of Job's about God, but so is the entire Bible. Yeah. And, you know, one of my things with men is to always say like, guys, we're not meant to read the Bible just for the purpose of memorization. It's great to memorize. We're not to read the Bible just for the purpose of regurgitation of factoids or being able to win, you know, the Bible Bowl or whatever, you know, your church is having or Bible Jeopardy at home with family, you know, whatever you're doing, it's not to be able to even just have a conversation. The purpose of our interaction with the Word of God is to know God,
right?
And to understand Him more fully through that. And when we do a character study or we dive into something of that nature, we want to be able to also look past the character and see the Creator. Mm-hmm. And his role there. And so, man, I love what you're doing there. I think that's fantastic because you're right. I mean, you know, the book of Job, it's often preached at the beginning. Hey, everybody goes through trials and tribulations. God's there with you. It'll be okay. Because then at the end, this is what happens. So I can't wait to pick that up, man. It's going to be a great read.
Great.
How long did it take you to put that project together?
Goodness. Well, that's another one that was a sermon series.
There you go.
So I preached that series three times. Before saying, all right, I think this is ready to be a book. So, it's been several years.
Wow. Okay.
So, the book doesn't normally take that long. but this one specifically has taken quite a bit longer just because of all that development.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of depth to it.
Well, I try, frankly, I'm not the most intelligent person in the world. I am the first to admit that.
Yeah, me and you both.
Well, good. I mean, good company. But I do like to think that my writing is at a level where just a normal Joe on the street can appreciate it and understand it. So,
yeah,
but I also get a little bit more. So.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit offhand about just some individuals who find themselves to be just great theologians. And I thank God for men like that, who've written these tomes of books on systematic theology and all these different things. And it's wonderful. And I can read them. I don't mind learning from them, but I'm not them. Right. At all. You know, I'm more of like you. I want to write to that. So everybody, I want to write it in such a way that it's easily received and understood by anyone. And then God has someone else who can preach to the more intelligent beings, if you will, than myself.
Can I say this?
Absolutely.
Because I know you said that this podcast is not for ministry folks. So I understand. I'm not talking to ministry people today, and neither are you necessarily. So for those of you listening who are not in ministry, what Brother Dustin and I have both just said is really mostly true for a lot of pastors. We are just normal everyday guys, and we don't think in these deep theological things all the time. I'm not a big football. Yeah. You still watch football.
Yes. I still watch football.
I still watch Star Wars. You know? Yeah. We're just regular guys. So, don't treat your pastor as if he's some sort of like, you know,
ultra spiritual being.
Right. We're not. We're people. We're flesh and blood.
We're people. Bunch of sinners just doing things God called us to do, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Man, I love that. And so now your podcast, I'd love to hear more about the story of how that, share some how that got started. You know, we were talking about your desire to produce content and just talk about what it's about and how they can find it and things like that, and kind of your heart and passion behind getting that going.
Sure. So my YouTube channel is called Proverbs 120 Media. And there are a few episodes where I am by myself, just talking to the camera, just talking about whatever. What does the Bible say about anger? The foolish man, the wise man, and the scorner, things like that. But most of my episodes, I will have a guest with me talking about really their area of expertise, but when it comes to the Bible. For example, I had Nate Skelly on. His episodes came out last week and the week before. And the two of us talked about what the Bible says about money. And very, very insightful episodes, by the way, because we often talk. He taught me a lot about money, by the way. He came to our church and did a seminar. And I had not been investing. I had not been doing any of that kind of stuff before he came along, and it helped me. So I thought, well, let's put that into a episode. The Bible has a lot to say about money. Yeah. The Bible has a lot to say about friendship. Dr. Nathan Burt is on my latest episode as we talk about how to be a good friend, things like that. And, the heart behind it all is just we have all these young people, millennials, Gen Z, and what, Alpha now? Alpha's the youngest one. Yeah. My heart goes out to them. I don't know that there's a lot of preachers who get up and they preach against millennials and Gen Zers and all them. Certainly they have a lot of issues, but a lot of those issues are because of the generations that came before them that taught them the wrong things.
Okay. He said it, guys. He said it. There it is. There's fighting words.
I'm sorry. Well, for example, and I actually talked with a guy about this the other day. Us millennials, we were the participation trophy people. Yeah. And we were told that we were special and that we're going to change the world. And what happens is, when you end up growing up and now you are working at McDonald's, there's nothing wrong with working at McDonald's. But when you've been told all your life that you're special and that you're going to change the world, and now you're working at McDonald's, the Bible says hope deferred maketh heart sick. Right.
Yeah.
So for me as a pastor, you know, all my life, I thought, oh, I'm the next Charles Spurgeon. I'm the next D.L. Moody. I'm the next this, that.
You've got the beard and glasses, man. You're on your way.
I had someone tell me I look like Charles Spurgeon, which
All right.
I don't know how I feel about that, but anyway, but I grew up thinking that, and in Bible college, we're taught that, right? We're taught, you know, you're going to go out and change the world. And I guess I came to a point where I realized maybe God doesn't necessarily want me to change the world. Maybe I'm not supposed to be the next Charles Spurgeon or D.L. Moody. I'm the next Curtis King. And my job is to just be faithful and do what I'm supposed to do. And if that means changing the world someday, praise the Lord. Again, praise the Lord. Let him be praised. But I'm just supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. And so anyway, that goes back to these young people. They're being taught all this rubbish. And the heart behind my channel is saying, listen, there are some practical, common sense things that the Bible says that can make you a successful, happy person if you just do them.
Yeah.
So
very, very much a practical theology type.
Sure. Podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing deep. And I mean, it's mostly in the book of Proverbs, and we go out of it sometimes, but yeah, it's mostly in the book of Proverbs. We're not talking theology. We're not talking soteriology. We're not talking about any of those ologies. We're really just talking about how you can have a better life by just doing what the Bible says.
Oh, wow. It's a crazy concept you introduced.
No, I know.
Wild. I love it, man. I love it. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Can I say one more thing? I've heard preachers say this. Do I call you Pastor Dustin, Brother Dustin? What do I call you?
Dustin is fine.
Just Dustin is fine. All right.
Yeah, just Dustin. That's it.
Well, Dustin, you have heard preachers say this as well as I have. The preacher saying God doesn't care about whether or not you're happy. Right. Mm. And that is not true. It is absolutely not true. The difference, though, is that God's path to your happiness is holiness. So when I was a teenager, one of the games we played was three guys would come up and eat a caramel apple, right? Mm-hmm. But two guys got a caramel apple. One guy got a caramel onion. Okay. So take the first bite, tastes like caramel. Second bite, you realize this is an onion. And the problem is that when it comes to sin, sin is fun. We wouldn't be tempted to do it if it weren't, right? All right. So that would make you happy, but not in the long term. God wants you to be happy in the long term. God wants you to be happy next week, next month, next year, going on. And that is through holiness rather than by sin. God does want you to be happy, and you will be happy by simply obeying. And that's really, that's the heart behind the entire thing.
Love that.
So,
amen.
Yeah.
No, that's it. And that's, you know, part of our motto at Men After God of achieving success with a thriving faith and family. It's about being faithfully obedient to what God has called you to do. Too many men are going out and after spending many hours of their week focused on their work and developing themselves or this, that, and the other thing, and neglecting the greater things of life, their faith and their family. And no one will ever convince me otherwise that a person achieves success but doesn't have a great relationship with his wife and children. No, you didn't. That's not success. No one's going to convince me that you've achieved success because you have a ton of money, drive a Lamborghini, and invite Dust to go get on your yacht because you don't have a relationship with God. That's not success.
Right.
That's a facade.
And they're oftentimes very miserable.
Very much so, because here's the thing, Curtis, and I love to bring this up when this topic comes around. If that was the key to happiness, if that was everything, then celebrities would never deal with depression, anxiety, suicide attempts, or suicide itself, and all these things. But yet we see that in what they have. I was having a great conversation with a man the other day who was talking about the Harvard study and the four things they came up with over a long time that determine happiness in an individual. And let's see if I can remember them all. Nutrition, relationships, I think it was exercise, and man, I can't remember the fourth one, but none of it was money, fame, power.
Sure.
And that's so important. And honestly, I can't remember all four of them now, but I remember our conversation on it. And it was, when you go back, like, wow, that's actually biblical. And it's like, oh, crazy. It's like the Bible has something to say about everything. But yeah, no. So I love how you're drawing from the scriptures to provide those practical insights on a weekly. Are you podcasting weekly?
Trying.
Yes, sir. I understand that. And so we are on, we just released at the time of this recording, I just got the text. We're finalizing up our 36th, 37th. Episode is going out this coming week. And so, yeah, so it's pretty cool to be that far into it and just excited about what's coming on. We got some great guests coming up. They'll be after this one. So I could kind of give a little teaser here real quick. Have you heard of Brady Schreer?
I've heard the name. I can't say where from though.
He started Pro Church Tools, Nucleus, okay. And then Rebel Give is another one. Uses all those for ways of equipping churches and does it in just a phenomenal way. And so I've loved his work, his stuff. And we're going to be having him on the podcast coming up soon. And that'll be a great time talking to him because he follows God his own path. You know, he's really like a developer, if you will, in technology. And so, but we've got him coming on. We had Bill Leroy from the Savannah Bananas. Have you heard of them?
I've heard of the Savannah Bananas. Yes. Yes. Okay, so baseball.
Baseball.
Okay.
Ball. Banana ball is what they play. And so, but he's the catcher and we had him on here.
Man, interesting.
Great, great guys that are following Jesus as they've called them to, according to biblical truth and principles.
Yeah.
And so I love it, man. I love it. So you're podcasting, you're doing all this. And tell us something right here. When it comes to your getting the content out and things of that nature, where are you hoping? Do you have a hope, a vision for where you'd like to see it in like 2 to 3 years?
Let's see. How big is Mr. Beast?
Hey, there you go. Like 2.2.
he's up there.
I'm looking him up right now. You keep going.
He has like 100 million, I think.
247 million.
Just yeah. He's only a few away. I have 27 subscribers right now, so I'm almost there. Almost there.
Yes. Yeah.
2 to 3 years. I want to keep doing what I'm doing for sure. I don't have any benchmarks in mind. I have some guests that I want to bring on that I'm excited about. I try to have at least a month ahead of recording, just because. Well, I told you about the farmer's market coming up.
We're actually getting ready to roll into that conversation.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of scared to death of trying to maintain a YouTube channel while also leading a farmer's market. Anyway, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's all right, man. It's all right. Well, I know a guy that teaches a system of scheduling and personal management, not just time management,
right,
to help with that. And so let's talk about that farmer's market. I mentioned that entrepreneurial spirit you have. You've started writing the books. You're doing the podcast. It's phenomenal. And now you and your wife are getting ready to launch a farmer's market. So how do you talk to me about that business model? What does that look like?
Okay. Well, first off, I got my experience in the farmer's market sphere when I was in West Virginia. The church that I was at, they used farmer's market as an outreach tool. So it was their ministry. So what I'm doing here is kind of the same thing, but not. So, the farmer's market will be at my church. And it'll give people an opportunity to be on our church's property. Cause Dustin, you know, as well as I do, that oftentimes the biggest step, the biggest hurdle to get people into church is to get them onto your property in the first place.
Yep.
So really, I'm kind of tying it all together. But the farmer's market is its own separate entity. So we're applying for our own, nonprofit organization, things like that. And, it's honestly, it's a lot of legwork. It's a lot of busy work, but it's actually pretty simple. Mm-hmm. You provide the space, which that's what we're doing here at this church. You provide the space and then you, start marketing for vendors, asking people to come and be a part of it. We charge a small fee for each vendor, and then we're looking for sponsors for, you know, putting business names up around, the property. And really it's just doing all that legwork to begin with. And then the day of the market, just making sure your vendors are happy and your customers are happy. It's a lot of legwork, but it's a lot of simple work. And the way I saw it was our community needs it for one. We've had people for years, even before I came, say, why don't we have a farmer's market? Why don't we have a farmer's market? Why don't we have a farmer's market? So this meets that need in our community, and it helps my church. So it's like, well, this is a obvious thing to do.
Yeah, that's going to be wonderful, man. It's going to be wildly successful. I can't wait to see it.
I'm hoping, I'm praying. Yeah. So
that'd be awesome, man. So wonderful. So you and your wife are going to be doing this together though.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. So my wife is, my wife's doing a lot of the, front end stuff. A lot of the social media, trying to get vendors to come. I'm dealing with a good bit of the, you know, applying for a 501c3, insurance, of course, keeping people happy once they do come. Of course, the church end of things too. So, the church obviously is going to get a free booth. And what I'm going to do is, hey, opening day of the market, the church is going to have bags of cookies that they're giving away for free with a gospel track on them. So it all comes full circle. So I'm kind of doing the pastor end of things as well as the director end of things.
Man, so. That's awesome. It's so cool. One thing we've done at a farmer's market, we were going to do, they didn't, the town's farmer's market was, it's a whole issue, but we were going to buy a, we were going to buy something from every vendor and then give it away in a drawing. And so that way we just got name, phone number, email of each person that was there. And
that's what we're
contact list, you know,
great minds think alike. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. That's good. Cause then it's a benefit. Like we're buying something from each vendor. We're promoting their stuff and then we're giving it away to someone. So, I mean, like, where's the loss? The town wouldn't let us do it. Like that's great. That's listen, brother. New England. That's the only thing I can give as an answer to that. New England. But nonetheless.
Well, man, when you know the director.
Yeah, right. When you host it, maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should look into that. Just putting a farmer's market on our church property.
Right. Okay. Right.
Thanks, Curtis. Now I got an idea. I love it, man. Listen, brother, I want to make sure the guys remember your podcast so they can get in touch with you. What's the best way for them to contact you, interact with your stuff? Go ahead and give that information out to them.
Okay. So, I'm in a few places. If you go to Facebook, it's Proverbs 120 Media. I upload everything onto Facebook and I put things about my books on there. I'm trying to put everything under that umbrella now. So my books, my channel, a few other things that will be coming along later as well. I wanted to get beyond my name. My Facebook channel used to be called, my Facebook page used to be called the Curtis King author page. It's like, well, this, I want this to be bigger than me, you know, besides you see my face, your audience does not. There's a reason why I'm on a podcast and not, wait a minute, I am on a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Wait a minute here.
So, you know, that's the brand, if you will. So, Facebook, Proverbs 120 Media, YouTube, again, Proverbs 120 Media. Keep bumping my microphone. If you go on to Amazon, it's just search for Curtis King. I have several books out, Profile of a Narcissist, a character study on Haman. Interesting study. I enjoyed that. Living Water, Christ's Interaction with the Woman at the Well, Haggai, Judges, God Can Use Anyone, and Job coming out soon. So
love it.
Yeah.
Love it, man. Well, I can't wait to interact with all that stuff. It's going to be good. I'll tell you, it'll probably be after I finish my doctorate, as I don't have much leisure time for reading right now.
Understood.
But we'll grab that as the time comes. So be sure to interact with our stuff, man. And for everyone listening, don't forget, follow, give us a like, subscribe to us. A review is always appreciated. And you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/menaftergod, facebook.com/group/menaftergod. We'll get you into our, our page, our network page, and be a part of the Men After God network and everything that's growing and building there as we seek to provide content, community, coaching, and conferences to help you achieve success with a thriving faith and family. And then don't forget, go over to Amazon and look for our book, Becoming a Man After God, available May 1st. You'll be able to purchase that. You use it for your own personal reading, a group Bible study, life group in your church. And always, if you have any questions, you can reach out to one of our team members of the Men After God network. And then our founding members and subscribers on Patreon. Thank you so much for investing into the Men After God Network podcast so that we could keep this thing going. And we just really appreciate you. If you're interested in becoming a if you're interested in jumping into our subscription service, you can go to patreon.com/menaftergod. Check out our bronze, silver, and gold packages where you'll get the extra content that we produce. And you'll also have access to percentage off for discounts with our merchandise, books, conferences, and things as they come out. So, guys, thanks so much for listening today. Curtis, thank you for the conversation, man. I love it. I can't wait to follow you and see just what God does in and through your work there. And as always, to our Men After God, keep becoming the man God made you to be. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Men After God podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and keep up with the show by following us at facebook.com/menaftergod. You can also reach out to Dustin personally at dustin@seekconsulting.us with any questions or for coaching on being a man after God. Until next time.